Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Good morning. The time is exactly 5 minutes past 10. It is Tuesday, the 8th of October. You're listening to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 95. On today's show, we're going to be looking at the rows over the US diplomat's wife, the latest no-deal Brexit, news that it would push borrowing above 100 billion. That's from the IFS. The arrest, Extinction Rebellion, and the latest news as it affects British expats in Spain as we're into the end game of the negotiations, deal or no deal. Joining the studio from left to right, on my left, Alf Brewer.
Yes, on the left, as usual.
Morning to you, Alf. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Good to see you. I'm sorry for getting your name right a bit earlier.
I'd prefer it because it made me sound so much more important. Alf Francis was so much better.
You could always...
So you refer to me as whatever you want, as you usually do, off air.
Off air, exactly. and also joining me, Annie Hernandez. Good morning to you, Annie.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
952, I'll try and get your name right as well.
That's all right.
It's Anne.
Annie, I answer those things.
Okay. Anyway, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Let's have a look at the front pages in the UK and further afield. Looking at the front pages of in the UK, the Financial Times expresses concern about Donald Trump's decision to withdraw US forces from northern Syria. The FT accuses the president of fecklessly abandoning America's main Syrian ally in its fight against the so-called Islamic State group. An official from the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces tells the Daily Telegraph, "It feels like a stab in the back after losing 11,000 men and women fighting the militants. Mr. Trump did not have the decency of telling the group in person." Meanwhile, Daily Mail relieves the withdrawal sent shockwaves across the world as Mr. Trump paved the way for a Turkish assault on the Kurdish-led militia. The Times describes how it triggered an exodus of civilians fearful of an attack by the Turkish army. Writing in The Guardian, Martin Chulov argues that the president's ruthless short-term realism ignores the fact that the regional interests he wants to secure, containing Iran and securing Israel, are jeopardized by such a blatant betrayal. There's more coverage in the case of the wife of an American diplomat involved in a road crash in which a 19-year-old motorcyclist died. The Daily Mail says London and Washington are locked in an extraordinary standoff over whether diplomatic immunity for Annie Tsakoulas should be lifted. The Times reports the Prime Minister will personally ask President Trump to intervene if the US does not change its stance. The Sun feels it's an outrage that she did not have the backbone to refuse immunity. The Eye is pessimistic about Boris Johnson's Brexit plan, saying his hopes of breaking the deadlock are hanging by a thread. And The Guardian calls for the Metropolitan Police Service to be held to account over their botched investigation of the false claims of a VIP paedophile ring at Westminster. It believes serious questions remain to be answered about what went wrong, both in terms of culture and process. Telegraph says Home Secretary Priti Patel needs to ensure that someone takes responsibility for this disgraceful episode. That's the Telegraph's words. The Mail questions the role of the police watchdog after it failed to find any evidence of misconduct by officers and held no one to blame. Finally, the Daily Star tells about how a beer festival organised by the Campaign for Real Ale ran out of beer with several hours of drinking time left. About 900 people guzzled 4,000 pints of beer and cider at the two-day event in Dorset. One man posted on social media that he couldn't but agree with another person who said, camera, couldn't organise a what's it up in a beer festival. Tish boom. Front page of the media partner El País in English. Head in a box crime, cleaning lady may have unwittingly recently disposed body. According to the sources in the investigation, the apparent murder of 67-year-old Jesus Marie Baranda, the domestic employee, was asked to throw away a number of large rubbish bags. Also, new election, new strategy. Spain's centre-right parties changed their message. Ciudadanos is now open to deals after shunning the Socialist Party for months, while the Partido Popular is focusing on the economy ahead of the November 10th repeat vote. And Russian and US visitors, targets for the Spanish firm that spied on Julian Assange. The CIA has access to the server where the company stored the profiles of hundreds of people who visited the WikiLeaks founder during his stay in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And finally, Latino drug dealers, the cliched role that Spanish-speaking actors willingly accept. In the Trump era, many observers warn against feeding the stereotype of Hispanic narco-criminal that's become so popular in TV series and movies. And those are your headlines. 952-784-000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. And you can WhatsApp me, +34 645 99 67 95. Should we start off on Brexit, though, panel? What do you say to that one?
Oh, gosh.
Well, as you know, as you are both outstanding experts in your... Where do you start? Well, I mean, just the reports I'm getting is no-deal Brexit would push borrowing above £100 billion. That's a new one. From a leading economic think tank. Overall borrowing, reaching levels not seen since the 1960s. So you just...
The British public are really, really, you know, beside themselves about that. Yeah, you know, all of that financial stuff they've ignored. All the stuff about the economy being damaged, they ignored. All of the stuff about what Johnson gets up to, they've ignored. And they will ignore this latest stuff.
That was expert speaking.
Pardon?
That was expert speaking. You don't listen to the experts.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not about even the experts. It's just the British public went through a whole process. You know, I have a simplistic view. Somebody puts a sign up on the side of a bus, NHS will be £350 million a week better off if we leave Europe. And 17 point, however many it was, 4 million people, you know, tended not to disagree with it. It's not whether they agreed with it, they just ignored it and they just get on with it. And some people actually believe it. And you go, so in all my years of being involved in British politics, nothing ever surprises me about the British electorate. Nothing surprises me. And we had the biggest single poll in the history of polls in the UK, which showed a very, very minority of people for leaving the EU. And people forget that there was another 23% of the people never even bothered participating. And they're even worse than the people who don't understand the arguments. People who don't participate are much, much worse because they should. I know I'm sitting in a studio with somebody who probably doesn't agree with this. Politics runs our whole lives. Every single thing we do on this planet is run and operated by politicians making political decisions in political organisations that are then imposed upon us. Doesn't matter what issue you talk about, whether it be the colour of the sea, the atmosphere that we breathe, whether it's whether we have trees or not trees, what we do with the Amazon, whatever it is imposed upon us by politicians. And if you don't engage in politics, as much as people either don't want to understand it or don't like it, if you don't engage, you cannot persuade people to change the direction they're going into. And that's where we're stuck now with this Brexit stuff.
952-784-000, we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning. Sharon Alley County.
Morning, Sharon.
While you've got your experts in, never a true word spoken, Alf. I like your new surname, by the way.
we're all, even I am fallible, Sharon, okay? I never said, and trust me, many will vouch for
that. I know you're a busy boy with, grouping, Giles. I understand you've had a busy week.
Oh, you also have to see his face, Sharon. You have to... It's every time someone will say it today, his face will pull a different distorted.
Yes.
Oh,
like one of those plasticine models, you know?
He's got a cold. We've got to be sympathetic. Anyway, my point, something, either of you two know what it was. It wasn't, I was quite perturbed. It wasn't mentioned on the news at all last night. But there was a court in Scotland that had done something.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing something else, and I missed what it was. Can you please tell me what the court in Scotland ruled on last night? Because I completely missed it. I don't understand why the BBC or any other outlet seemed to cover it. We feel completely left out. They talked about mental health in the UK with the Brexit mental health problems. Right. They didn't mention the expats out here. They mentioned everybody else, but not here. So I'll leave you to explain what went on in Scotland
Sharon,
yesterday.
Before Alf explains to you, I do know myself as well, but let Alf explain. We are 1.2 million British residing in the EU, and I'm convinced we are out of sight and out of mind. We are totally overlooked and abandoned. Never mind many of us are disenfranchised because we couldn't vote, and I'm not political. However, I am, I suppose, after the last 4 years of Brexit. But until then, I wasn't a political animal, unlike Alf. Yeah, no, okay.
Victory.
So it's raised interest in politics in many people. But I'm seriously disappointed that so many of us are gullible, to be truthful, and particularly the elderly here who are already confused, perhaps unwell. And this is what they're having to put up with. It's a living nightmare.
95278 4000. Got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's Johnny. Me.
Morning, John.
For Sharon, as I understand, the Scotland thing was that somebody took a court action in Edinburgh to make an order that Johnson had to do something, had to make a deal or whatever, and they threw it out. That's why it wasn't commented on. It was like a nothing.
Thrown out, and it wasn't thrown out, and it wasn't a nothing. What actually happened was, it's the Supreme Court in Scotland on a second part of the first part where they found that Johnson had prorogued Parliament wrongly, and this one was the same person taking it there to say, because of the outcome of that, Johnson should now write to the EU requesting an extension to Article 50. That was the issue put in front of the court.
I read it online that effectively court decision, no action, because that is what he was already going to do.
Right, and the court decision,
no evidence that he wasn't going to do it, therefore it wasn't up to them to make an order. No. Anyway, the reason I did call, if I can just change it and throw something in, if the Irish border problem, which is the problem, how do we solve it or whatever, it just occurs to me, if Britain drop out of the EU without any agreement whatsoever, and they say, we're not going to create any sort of barrier whatsoever between North and Southern Ireland, in that case, then the EU presumably are going to tell Ireland they've got to create a border. If they do that, then surely the EU and Ireland will be in breach of the Good Friday Agreement. Just like your thoughts on that. Okay, I'll hang up and listen to you on the radio.
Thanks very much for the call in there. 952 78 4000 is the phone number.
And that's why it's important we understand what the Scottish court said. What they actually said was that because Parliament, because the, as it's now called, the Benn Bill, overtook events, the Scottish court said that they had no reason to make a judgment on it because it had already been made by Parliament. Parliament being, and people forget this, Parliament is the highest court in the UK. So when you listen to all these people talk about Supreme Courts and whatever else, even the House of Lords, irrespective, the House of Commons is the highest court in the country. And that's why it's important that people say they've made a decision. You can't now undermine that decision, quite rightly, because you have no authority and no power. And the Irish border problem is all extent about it. Britain said right from the beginning, you know, people who know me know that I'm not a lover of the Tories, but Theresa May said right at the beginning, we are not going to build hard borders in Ireland. If you listen to all the people that talk about it, there are only two routes from Southern Ireland into Northern Ireland for goods to move through. There are only two. So what they're trying to create is this, we won't build a hard border, we'll put it in the middle of the North Sea or some nonsense that they're coming out with. This, that's not fooling anybody. The difficulty will be, you're quite right, if Britain doesn't do a deal, then somebody's going to have to make a decision on how the European Union controls trade between the EU and the UK. Somebody's going to have to make that decision. And if it means building hard borders, it's not a case of breaking the Good Friday Agreement. There is an agreement in existence that you try to do based on the circumstances that existed at the time. And the circumstances that existed at the time is that the UK was part of the EU. New circumstances come along, like, yeah, it could have been a war, it could have been anything. New circumstances come along, you have to reflect on the new circumstances, and somebody will have to make a decision. But there will be a boulder.
952-78-4000, going straight to the lines. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Gosplank.
Morning, Kate.
A bit tangential to Al's last comment, but in the context, one of the great problems is that Boris is essentially untrustworthy, which is why the Scottish case went up. He's threatened to not go ask for an extension in spite of the decision of the highest court in the land. Thanks Alf for that, for Parliament. And he's promised also that if he has to go and ask for an extension, then he'll appoint a commissioner, an EU commissioner, that will create mayhem.
So even more mayhem caused then, Kate?
Yes, but deliberately, and, you know, kicking and screaming. I mean, the Bullington Club trashed restaurants. What Boris is doing is trashing the United Kingdom. Back to the Institute for Fiscal Studies report, which you referred to earlier.
Yeah, indeed. 100 billion a year. Thanks for the call in there. Just looking at some of the WhatsApps coming in. +34 645 99 67 95 if you want to send a WhatsApp. This is from Alan. The Good Friday Agreement is an internationally ratified treaty guaranteeing an open border in Ireland. Because of Brexit, the EU are demanding a border in Ireland because of the internationally ratified treaty on freedom of movement only within the EU. Which treaty supersedes which one? And if there are equal standing. Surely this is an immovable object meeting an unstoppable force which makes Brexit impossible and internationally illegal. Panel, any thoughts on any of those points we've had so far? I mean, the Institute of Finance Fiscal Studies, or where we are with the backstop, or the undemocratic backstop as it's referred to. Annie?
To be honest, Irish border, trade, economy, etc. I've had enough of it. It's time to start focusing on the people. We are the collateral damage at the end of the day in all of this. There's nobody else going to be hurt. The rich cats will just get richer. The fat cats will get fatter. The boar will get boorer, unfortunately. And there's many of us here, and I can only relate to those that are living in Spain, that are seriously going to have issues.
I mean, we've all been hearing recently this the new campaign as well, you know, get ready for Brexit. I was playing my Spotify gym workout list the other day.
Did you see the Brexit Party Limited political campaign?
I didn't see that one, but I was halfway through doing a workout and suddenly the Prepare for Brexit advert came on. All things notwithstanding, it is happening on the 31st of October. And are we ready for it?
No, I don't think we are. And I'm not sure what the Brexit Party are planning, but they're inciting, as per their political campaign that was televised, war, slaves was mentioned. Those two words were mentioned so many times, it was unbelievable. And I thought, this is really what they're aiming for. It's horrendous.
But it's no different to what UKIP were doing.
No, this is UKIP. Exactly the same.
Well, this is UKIP
with a different name.
under another guise. But what he's done very cleverly is he's gathered a group of people around who, across the old party boundary, and what they're cleverly saying is, listen, we're on behalf of the 17.4 million people, we should leave the EU, irrespective of a deal. And people who've listened to me know that I've always argued, when we had the referendum, because Cameron didn't organise it properly, nobody voted for or against leaving the EU with or without a deal. It wasn't on the paper. It was just simply, do you want to leave the EU? And they never put any thought to, because Cameron was so cocky that he thought he was going to win, they never put a plan B in. And I think I said on the radio at the time, somebody asked me, what do you think about what plan B is going to be? And I said, quite simply, that's making a wild assumption that there's a plan A. Mm-hmm. And there never was a plan A. So we're left in this constant dilemma all the time. And I agree with Van to a certain extent about focusing on the people. But the unfortunate bit is that focusing on the people is entirely, entirely dependent on Britain having a deal. All the rest of the stuff, all the reciprocal arrangements, really only apply to a few countries that want to have reciprocal arrangements. And of course Spain wants to have a reciprocal arrangement with the UK. We had one before the existence of the EU. We've had one for many years. It didn't cover as much as what it does now. And I did talk with Giles before about, you know, Alex, the solicitor, you know, makes a point, oh, they've got this royal decree and all that. And I just, simple question, okay, does the royal decree cover people who pass away in Spain and their inheritance tax? And the answer is, no, it doesn't. And it can't do, because Spain is an autonomous government and the regions are autonomous. And if Andalusia, which it used to do, wants to tax British people more than it does anybody else in Europe, then they'll do it, because the Spanish government want
but
money.
To some degree, Spain and Belgium as well have done their homework. Unfortunately, the UK are only just doing their homework
now.
They never thought about Ireland, they never thought about Gibraltar,
issued in June 2017. Quite clear. It contains in here everything that's said today about reciprocal arrangements, about healthcare. Look, 2017.
Which is a year after the referendum.
Well, of course it would be a year after the referendum, because they didn't know what to do when they got the referendum result, and then there was a general election.
Well, exactly. That's why you and I agree on that, at least.
Yeah, but the diplomatic service... MPs don't deal with this. This is done by your civil service. So the civil service need time to put it in writing. And the one issue that says in here, quite clearly, this all relies on there being a deal between the UK and Europe. All of it. Every single bit of it. Now, Spain can do something different. And I've listened to this and I talked with Alex about it. It's quite clear. This is a political decision. It's not an individual decision. It's not Spain's decision either. If the EU say, you can't do that, Spain, because the rest of us, the other 26, say you can't, then none of this will apply anyway. None of it. So we have to be absolutely critical about what we do politically in the UK.
952.
And the only political decision is not even a second referendum. Just revoke all this nonsense. Stop saying we want to leave the EU. People are, I think the latest poll says 64% of the people in the UK on the second referendum would vote to remain. I tell you what, they probably would, but not on the same turnout as 2016.
952-784-000. Got calls on the line waiting to get on. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi. It's John in Mijas again. Just on a separate point, for over 20 years, I worked as a volunteer at a national police station. The advice was, regarding people who had the green paper, the EU citizen registration, was that after 5 years, it automatically became permanent. Therefore, there was no need to renew it. What the police are now saying is that you must have, after 5 years of getting that paper that says nothing on it, you must apply for a permanent certificate. And when it's issued, it says character permanente on the front. And when you apply for that, you have to prove your income and your medical cover in exactly the same way as a person who has never had one. And that's a big, from my point of view, I'm arguing with the police about it.
You're not wrong on that, because you have to apply as if afresh, totally, if you're just making it permanente.
I'm actually arguing about that, because the EU, don't say I've had contact with the EU, and they effectively say, no, that's not so. But the problem is, if that's what the police are saying, then we're going to have to go along with it. So it means that, I say, it's very important, because we have been telling people, no, you don't have to do anything, fine, you can relax. But now the instruction is that you need the green paper to say character permanente. And if anyone hasn't got it, then they really should go and do it immediately. And they have to do it online now. They can only make the appointment online to go to the National Police Station, with the exception of Cadiz for some odd reason. But as far as I know, every other police station in Spain, they have to make the appointment online.
Just in addition to that, I was at the Fuengirola National Police Station last week helping some people get their residencia, and they did say to me, these will be the last appointments on the 14th of October. Right, after that, they will be suspending appointments until, obviously, they know what's happening with Brexit.
That's where I work.
That's where you work, then you would know.
They certainly weren't saying it to me when I was there, but nevertheless, I'm just passing on, because I feel embarrassed because I've told lots of people, having the police telling me that they don't need to do anything, and I'm now embarrassed because they've changed their tune I say, once again, and I keep saying it, people who have something that is, doesn't say character permanente really should be on the safe side. Go and change it.
Okay. To have your current address.
Yeah, but it's also, this isn't, okay. I understand. I understand the process in Spain, and people put a lot of reliance on what goes on. And unfortunately, a lot of it is driven by the local police. And it depends where you go. So that might be Fuengirola police station. I can tell you, you go to Benalmádena, you don't have to make an appointment online. You walk to the office and you make an appointment, and it may be later.
That's not the local police, though, Alf. That's the national police.
Well, the national police office, whatever it is. It's by Burger King in the Arroyo. So, you know, and I've been there lots of times.
Other police stations are available, by the way.
Police stations are available, including the one down the road, yeah. And so all of them are different. That's because the police will not move until they're directed by what the government tells them to do, and the government will tell the regions what to do, and the regions will tell the local authorities what to do. It's a long process, and they're quite right to say, because we don't know what's going to happen after the 18th of October, we can't make any decisions about what to do for the future. They're right to say that. It's not them being awkward.
We do know that we have to exchange our green residence card or A4 paper after we leave Brexit, presumably on the 31st of October. We will have to exchange it for a TIE, Tarjeta de Identidad de Extranjero, foreigner's, a non-EU, let's say, residence card. And I fully understand that they're not going to go for just 2 weeks down the process of faffing about meeting British, exchanging or giving the information now with the green card that then in 2 weeks' time is really not valid.
95278 4000, got a caller on the line. Thanks for holding, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Morning. It's Marlene in Calpe.
Morning, Marlene in Calpe.
Just something I'd like to confirm. The chappie said, was saying that the highest court of law in Britain is the House of Commons. I always thought it was the House of Lords. Could you please confirm it for me?
No, House of Commons is the highest court in the country. When you make appeals, you go through. The House of Lords do have a part of the process, but the decision-making process of the UK on any legal issue is the House of Commons. They're the people who vote on the law. They're the people who uphold the law. They're the people who interpret it. But because it's used so very, very occasionally, it doesn't count. But all you have to look at is, you know, what's his name, Ben? I should know his
Hillary.
Name. Hillary, because I worked for him for a time. No, I didn't. I delivered leaflets for him. Hillary
milk.
I delivered leaflets because he was standing in the local council elections in Ealing, right. And I was part of Labour who went out leafleting for Hillary Benn to take Ealing, which we won. But the issue is Hillary Benn puts a thing, gets seconded by a Tory, gets voted through the House of Commons. That is the law of the land. No other court in the UK can overturn that bill. No other illegal body that's in any, because that's, and what they do, if you recall, is that after the Commons had passed the bill, it goes to the Lords for verification, but it comes back to the Commons to get its third reading or second reading, whatever they call it, gets voted in Parliament, and that's the law. That's why it's the highest court in the land.
95278 4000. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Ken from Nurka.
Morning, Ken.
Morning. You just hear so much rubbish talk. Now, yesterday I received from NHS Business Service Authority what is exactly going to happen with people that are S1 holders resident in Spain. That's it. It's written. I'm looking at it now. And what it is saying is that to access healthcare as they do now until at least the 31st of December 2020. This means that your healthcare access will remain the same after the 31st of October 2019. Now, I've got the letter from NHS Business Services. It's irrefutable, and it doesn't matter what people say, it's right in front of me.
got it in front of me as well, actually. That is correct. 31st of December 2020, our rights as S1 pensioners on the S1 scheme will have our healthcare covered. That is correct. The question is, what happens after 31st of December 2020?
Don't even go that far. Who is that agreement between? Because it's nothing to do with the EU. That agreement is a reciprocal agreement between Spain and the UK.
Correct.
So it doesn't apply to a UK citizen in Italy, Germany, France. But the issue of Brexit is covering everybody in Europe. We don't just talk about ourselves because we're in Spain.
Well, this gentleman is referring to that. Yes, and the letter has come out. I knew about
course,
this letter.
Of course, the letter's come out. We've all known about it. It's been in the papers for the last six months.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it's the British Embassy.
If I can just reflect on it, under the paragraph that says pensions, it says your pension is not affected by the UK leaving the EU. Well, I find that very contradictory, because I do know that pensions have only been agreed to be increased until the annual upright until 2023, and we still don't know about aggregating pensions. So to say it is not affected,
that is in the letter. Clearly says UK increases for 3 years up to including 2022-23.
Correct.
That's to receive the uprated in line with UK increases for 3 years.
The previous sentence says your pension is not affected by the UK leaving the EU.
And it's not. Your pension is not affected, no different to somebody who moves to Australia, Canada, America, Germany. Doesn't matter where
you move. So then it's for life. It's not just until 2023.
Your state pension is unchanged. What could change is the increase in your state pension, and that only applies to people who are in the EU.
Then that does change.
Well, no, that's not a change to your pension. That's a change to your increase.
Well, it would be a change to one's pension.
No, your pensions, you still get the old age pension, as you always did,
but the sentence is incorrect. It needs clarifying, and I have requested from the British Embassy that they do clarify. If I could just reflect back, on the 19th of September, I was invited to Madrid to the British Embassy to have a meeting with Stephen Barclay, who is the Secretary of State for exiting the EU.
Right.
There was five of us in total. There was many questions posed to him. There was only one that he could answer a categoric yes or no to, which was a no.
Right.
Which was, is there a repatriation, a compensation plan for all of those British that have to return to the UK as a result of loss of rights here? And the only answer, as I say, to any of the questions was no, because it is not our intention. Now, intention, I did comment, was the buzzword of the day. Everything that he was asked was, it's not our intention, or it is our intention.
Hello?
Yes, Ken. Hello, Ken? No, we lost Ken.
Ken's gone.
Yeah.
So there were lots of questions posed to him, which was about healthcare, about pensions increase and aggregating, about the Votes for Life that we've been promised that haven't happened, whether there's a deal or no deal, and what will be the outcome of... Obviously, we're talking about Spain, because I was at the British Embassy in Spain. Gibraltar, the 6,000 in 15,000 daily workers that cross the border are British, and what thoughts have been given to them. And as I say, this repatriation compensation, that was the only thing he answered, no.
So there's no plan for repatriation?
There's no plan. However, categorically state, when asked what was this new deal, this germ of a deal that Boris keeps wittering on about, and we were told it's exactly the same deal as Mrs. May's declined three times deal, but without the Irish backstop. So my comment was, they've just deleted two paragraphs. That's all they've done in 6 months, basically.
And they haven't even done that. They've altered the wording, so they haven't got rid of... They can't get rid of the backstop. You know, end of story. I had this 3 weeks ago, we had the same conversation on the radio. The backstop is there. No backstop, no deal. And end of conversation. And what they're trying to do is fiddle the wording, which is what I said nearly 3 years ago. And when Boris became the leader... Boris, stop calling him Boris.
I know.
Gives him a status. When Johnson became the leader...
It's his name.
Yeah, no. Mrs. May, or May... was never called by
Theresa.
Her first name.
Oh, I called her Theresa.
Well, you might have called her Theresa May. Very few people ever said Theresa. We called Boris because it's...
Let's call him
catchy.
Alexandra, then.
Well, call him Francis, like me, because I'd
say his name.
Have that.
Let's get away from that, please.
Anyway, it's called... You know, there's lots of things that are being said that Yeah, and I understand that. You go and see the British consulate in Madrid, whoever he is, or wherever he is. He has got no more intelligence about what's going on than you have.
Well, hold on. No, he's the appointed Secretary of State. I would rather assume he's got a little bit more knowledge than me.
No, the Secretary of State wouldn't sit there and tell you and give you... Other than the, we're not having repatriation, because they didn't drive you away. It's not something, you're not in a war zone, you're not in a conflict area, none of that. And that's what repatriation payments are all about, like the Jamaicans, like the Bermudans, like the Indians, like the Sri Lankans. You know, this is a historical thing. So, of course, he'll say no, because it's not the same circumstances. But everything else, we relies on two things. A reciprocal agreement, and I'll stick with the Spain bit, a reciprocal agreement between two countries, namely Spain and the UK, and secondly, that there's a deal. If there's no deal, none of it applies, and I'll keep on saying it. With the best will in the world, Spain and the UK can come up with all these great ideas about what we're going to do, and then the EU decide we're not allowing non-EU citizens to have access to European healthcare. End of story.
952, turn myself off. 952-78-4000. Morning call, you're live on TRE. Thank you for holding. Where are you calling from? What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning. I'm sorry, it's Charlotte Alicante.
It's Sharon.
I just emphasise what your guest said, saying to Ken, we've all received that letter. What we're concerned about is these things are only temporary. December 2020, it's only a year away. 2023, it's only 5 years away. Many of us are still in our 60s and early 70s. You know, this is what we're concerned about. Now, we went to the consulate to a pop-up meeting at the airport in Alicante. So we went along, and there were two very nice ladies, one Spanish who'd been a social worker in the UK and has come back out, and a consulate assistant at a table. So we went up there, and I asked the most important questions on behalf of a lot of us, and I said about voting rights, I mentioned the pension rises. These are the three crucial things, because the Sunday Times did an article a few months ago. If we were to lose the uprating, it amounts to thousands of pounds. This isn't a small amount of money we're talking about. And I finally mentioned the healthcare. And in a reply, I couldn't believe this. Well, actually, these pop-up meetings here, we're only here to help people who haven't got residencia get residencia. So we'd wasted our time. They're only there to help people who haven't bothered to get their paperwork legalised. And I was angry because we've always gone out of our way to stay legal and to do things properly. And we were told that some people come out here and buy a caravan off a friend on a site so that they can stay under the radar. And it's those people now who are in trouble. And it's those people, they're there to help, not us. And we're still left out, and I'm angry. I'm sorry, but this whole thing is so, so bad. It's almost Windrush, only it's worse in a way. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. And go to the other one. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi. I was talking over top of Sharon when I first came on.
Sorry about that.
Speak now, whatever. Anyway, just on the point, different. I said I worked with the police for over 20 years, and this idea that every police station does it differently, that is not entirely true. Occasionally, somebody at some police station might make an error on something, but all the police stations work under the instructions that are sent out by the Madrid government, and I've seen them because I see them at the police station, and they're the same everywhere. And just on the point, I think one of your people on the panel there said they went to Benalmadena, you don't need an appointment. I've just gone online and had the option of making an appointment online for Benalmadena. So I think... Take it from me, with the exception of Cadiz, which I know for sure, it used to be, I don't know if they changed it, you could actually walk in. No other police station that I know of, and I've looked at loads, can you make it? You must make it online. And if when you make it online, that police station doesn't come up, it just means there are no appointments available at that time. So you have to keep trying.
That's right. You can't go to the closest one, because we've made that mistake before.
Yes. You have to go to the one where you live.
You have to go to one where you're empadronado, padron is named is where you have to go.
Need a padron.
I don't like it when people misquote. I did not say that you could just turn up at Benalmadena police station and be seen. I said you didn't have to do it online. You can go to the police station and make an appointment. You don't have to do it online.
Okay, then that's a rare police station. I'll check with them because I used to work there for them as well. I used to run a team.
Check as much as you want.
But nevertheless, basically, if people go online and make the appointment, they're not wrong. Okay, if they go to the police station, they might find a problem.
We need to just add about the new little box that was added that says UK.
UK is different. I mean, at Fringarola, the lady there is speaking.
I'm saying when you book online, that new little box that is added.
What I'm also saying is that when you go to the police station at Fringarola, they have a desk specifically for British people.
Monday and Friday only, mornings.
No, please listen to me. They have a desk every day where there are two people working there who don't speak English. They work on the English only or British United Kingdom only desk. And some days at least, they do have an interpreter provided by Mijas Town Hall. On Fridays, and I believe on Mondays, they have a German lady called Angelica, who is also a volunteer, has worked there even longer than me, and she gives advice. But the actual desk dealing with it is open every Monday to Friday.
Thank you for your call in there, John. Bye. Back with more Viewpoint after this.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Live and lively as always with Alf Brewer. We're still live. Just one second, please. 952-78-4000. Panel trying to escape. We've still got 13 minutes before the break for the international and national news. Hang on in there. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Alf Brewer. On the left, yes, and Hernandez not on the right, yes. You're in the middle. Some points of order we got so far. Going back to some of the things that we've been talking about in the first hour of Viewpoint. This from Kenan Wicklow. Boris has broken the law once or twice before, so Good Friday Agreement will be just another bump on the road. By the way, Trump repaying the Kurds for help in defeating ISIS. The US troops taking out of eastern Syria have all the hallmarks of a Putin help decision, I heard through US social media as well. We might look at that in the second hour of the show. President Trump, who also made some very interesting tweets, as he has wont to last night, but we'll go on to those in a little while, perhaps. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Once again, we're talking about the ins and outs, the implications, the results or the report this morning from the IFS predicting a mini boom in public spending funded by extra borrowing, helping to soften the blow if the US crashes out of Europe without a deal. But the boom will be followed by a bust, more likely, as the government struggles to cope with the consequences of a smaller economy and a higher debt and its funding of public services. So it's going to be, you know, no deal Brexit pushing borrowing about above 100 million.
Could I just come back on?
Yeah,
I
mean,
because it is a seriously important issue, and that's about the pension increases, the state pension increases. And what people, you know, everybody gets wound up about, we've had it for this long, we do this, that and the other. But it's called the reality. The reality is, and this is why they've delayed it, otherwise they'd have made it 2020, the same as the health service, but they've given it another 3 years because it's going to take some time to work through. And we used to do it in union negotiations when companies tried to change the pension arrangements. And it's about trying to find a solution for those who are already and for those who will come. So for those of us who are already here, I made my decision to move to Spain based on the income that I thought I would get from a state pension, including the pension rises. If someone then comes along and removes that from me, that's not my fault. And somebody should be there to say, well, hang on a minute. We've got, and there are thousands, probably 250,000 people that chose to come and live in Spain based on that. How many Brits, Anne, have gone back to the UK simply because the exchange rate has made it? So then to say, oh, and by the way, we're not going to increase your pension. However, that is different from somebody who in 2020 decides they want to move to Spain because they will know the circumstances that apply at the time they make that decision. And that's what we used to have to do. I mean, we hated what the companies were doing with pension schemes, but what you do is you ring fence the people who are already there and you deal with them in one respect, and then what you say is, but here's the arrangements for new applicants, for new employees. And I think they're going to do the same with the pension increase. So if you're here and you're currently getting it, or you currently should have had it applied to you, then they may well ring fence us sort of people.
We
and
hope.
Carry it. Well, it doesn't apply. I mean, it doesn't apply to my children, for example, because they all live in Spain. They all pay into the Spanish state system.
You should mention ring fence. We're actually being represented at the People's Vote demonstration in London on the 19th of October. And we have permission now to present a letter to Number 10 Downing Street, which is good. We have a petition going. If anybody wants to sign it, please. It is purely to ring-fence our rights. It's not to deal, no deal, change anything. It's just to ring-fence our rights, the very rights that Elf is talking about, our current rights, basically.
Absolutely.
Because so many of us came here. Well, certainly there's 346,000 Brits here already, 77,000 of which are pensioners, and they must have all come here knowing what those terms and conditions were. They studied it in advance. So to pull the rug out from under their feet now, it's just basically, it's cruel, it's wicked, it's not human. It really is an inhumane thing to do to people, which is why I say that the focus needs to be on the people. So if anybody would like to sign it, please, on any of our Brexpats in Spain Facebook groups, of which we have five, or our website, not to say I'm advertising, but hey.
Of course not. Just
advertise. Tell me.
No, I'm not advertising. It's not
www.brexpatsinspain.es.
Yes, yes, if you want the website. Otherwise, it's Brexpats in Spain, of which we've got five Facebook groups. We shall be handing in that letter together with those petitions. I only did the petition on Sunday, and it's already nearly got 1,000 sign-ins, which is quite good.
952-78-4000. Back after this.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
As you can, you've already hear in the background, gentle listeners, another live and lively viewpoint here on TRE Talk, your voice in Spain. The political debate has gone on during the entire advertisement break, so let's have a quick look at some bits and pieces into the last 4 minutes of the first hour. Just a quick one. I received a letter from UK government telling me my healthcare is guaranteed till end 2020 and pension till end 23, but will negotiate with EU about uprating pension. Can the panel tell me what the EU has to do with the UK pension? What's the difference if you live in Bolton or Benidorm? Well, you've got 3 minutes and 30 for that one, panel.
That's my question, but Alf says it's an EU regulation.
It's the upgrade of pensions is an EU regulation and applies to every one of the 28 nation states.
Yeah, but when we're out, it won't apply to us. So why can't Britain just say they will uprate it anyway?
Well, nobody's saying that. It's called, we want a reciprocal agreement. We want an agreement between all the countries. If you are a Spanish person going to the UK, the UK can physically say you will not get a pension increase. And they would do it on the basis of taxation.
And that's why we're being used as bargaining chips.
Well, no, we're not. No. If we were being used as bargaining chips, then we're a thin-cut chip in a burger king.
Well,
yeah,
we are.
Come on.
Maybe
the biggest bargaining chips are all about trade. They're all. You said it yourself, Anne. It's about trade. It's about business. It's about the fat cats. It's about the rich people. It's not about us minions at the bottom who are trying to survive. And I say survive.
We're the ones that are going to suffer.
Oh, I'm not so sure that they'll sit back and watch us suffer, because suffering creates a movement amongst people that you really can't.
Sorry,
control.
Ralph, but there's elderly people here in Spain. I could quote some that are suffering already, and totally ignoring it.
I didn't. And there's now this mental illness because
exactly.
of Brexit, and there's lots of things. What you try to do with those people, especially older people who don't understand, is you try to allay their fears. Unfortunately, what we do and what we forget is when we're campaigning, we raise fears. We raise fears in order to get people to be anti, because we want people to change their mind. So you then have to have a different group of people putting your arm around their shoulders and saying, look, this is politics at its worst. This is politics. We affect people's minds in order to change other people's opinions. That's what it's about.
952-78-4000. Good morning, Cooley. Live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, this is Shirley and Mariah, and
morning.
I'm saying that yes, we are all a bit scared because everything is changing. you're talking about we're not going to get the pension increase after 2023. I don't even get my pension till 2021 because they keep changing the goalposts. When we came here 19 years ago, I was going to get my pension at 65. Now it's been raised to 66. When I came here, I needed 30 years of contributions to get a full pension. While we've been here, that has now gone up to 35 years to get a full pension. So I've paid in an extra 4 years to try to almost get a full pension. Now they're saying that we're not going to get the increase after 2023. In the meantime, I haven't been able to work. When my husband received his pension, he received something called ADI, which is Adult Dependency Increase, which was an extra small payment for me. This year, out of the blue, we've discovered that it's not going to be paid after next April. They couldn't tell us at first how much it was. It's all very secret how much this extra payment is. But apparently now we found out it's £70 a week, £280 a month. And in England, if this is taken away because it's across the board, it will be replaced by a pension credit or some other benefit that you can claim in England, but you can't claim it here. Now, when it was originally paid, we were told that would be paid until I qualified for my pension, which has already been put back a year.
We're going to have to answer the question after the news because the news is coming up in about 14 seconds time, but thanks for your call in. We'll look at that and other issues in the second half of Viewpoints.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio, the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Alf Brewer and Annie Hernandez. It's been live. It's been lively, as it always is. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio, the email. Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post. Talk Radio Official, you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Some bits and pieces that have come in the 6 or 7 minutes since we were away, and the conversation has continued. One of them is from Liz in Brighton, Elizabeth in Brighton, who says has sent me in the following, which is, and I probably just completely lost it now. No change there then. It seems that some people have forgotten that that a law is only a law until it is revoked. Rules can change at any time. This in from John. Just to keep things spiced up, here's what the Tories are now giving as a briefing. The briefing says, when they try to say, so what is the point of a delay? What is the point of a delay? We will say, this is not our delay. The government is not asking for a delay. Parliament is sending you a letter and Parliament is asking for a delay, but official government policy remains that delay is an atrocious idea that everyone should dismiss. Any delay will in effect be negotiated between you, Parliament and the courts. We will wash our hands of it. We won't engage in further talks. We will obviously won't be given any undertakings about cooperative behaviour. Everything to do with duty of sincere cooperation will be in the toilets. We will focus on winning the election on a manifesto of immediately revoking the entire EU legal order without further talks, and then we will leave. Those who supported delay will face the inevitable consequences of being seen to interfere in domestic politics in a deeply unpopular way by colluding with a parliament that is as popular as, I won't say that, whatever you just said. Those who pushed the Benn Act intend to sabotage a deal, and they've probably succeeded. So the main effect of it will be probably to help us win an election by uniting this leave vote, and the main effect of it, Sorry, excuse me. Start again. Those who push the Benn Act intend to sabotage a deal, and they've probably succeeded. So the main effect of it will probably be to help us win an election by uniting this Leave vote and then a no-deal Brexit. History is full of such ironies and tragedies. And finally on here, question if I may. 3 months ago, we spoke to the Politician Nationale, read the permanency bit on a residency, and they said no need, as we would have to re-register anyway. Has this changed? Again, 3 months. We spoke to the Politician Nationale, read the permanency bit on a residency, and they said no need, as we would have to re-register anyway. Has this changed?
For the Tarjeta de Identidad Extranjera, the TIE, as a non-EU national, they will need to re-register. The only thing is they're saying it will be rather more automatic. I'm not quite sure how automatic. Will be the exchanging of our current green residencia. It's not a residencia, but we call it a residencia.
Yeah.
It's either an A4 piece of paper, the green piece, or the little green credit card size.
Going straight to the lines, 95278 4000. Good morning, caller. Thanks for calling. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate.
Yes, Kate.
Kate Costa-Blanca. Just quick, overall, at some point early in the first hour, someone claimed latest polls suggest that the Leave vote is much lower than it was, and that the Remain is about 64%. There is a difference of opinion in the Remain side as to whether there should be first a general election or first a second vote. What did the panel think? Because it seems to me that there's a great, great danger of a majority of the British citizens being led over the cliff edge by accident.
Hey, I'm so sorry, but I've given up thinking, to be truthful. There is nothing that we can foresee. We are at their mercy, basically.
No. This is politics, and this is how you influence.
I said I'm not a political animal.
But that's how you have to become one in the nicest possible way. I think what you mix up, Anne, is the difference between being political in terms of being associated with a political party or even a part of the spectrum, and being political and understanding that the issues that affect us are made by politicians, and therefore it doesn't matter which politician it is. If you disagree with it, how do you try to change it?
Brexit in Spain is a non-political association.
No, that's
not to say yes. Because
that's their
terminology. No, it's my terminology. It's because we do not adhere to one particular party. But I do fully appreciate that the whole effects of Brexit is political. Right, I fully understand.
But when you want to make changes, I have my little thing that Giles knows. I keep it here so that we don't get it wrong, so people don't distort it. Politics is the art of the possible. You cannot achieve anything. It's only possible when you get power. If you haven't got power, then you can't change anything. You can have a voice, but it's a voice in the wilderness. So it's about power. And unfortunately, 90,000 people, just as few as that, 90,000 people in the UK have given all the power to Mr. Johnson. And that's just wrong. I just want to, before Joe, sorry, because Shirley rang in with an important point, and it's part of understanding.
Shirley,
before the break.
Thank you,
Everything, unfortunately, in life changes, whether it's subtly or majorly. They're not saying that you're not going to get a pension increase after 2023. What they're saying is we're guaranteeing it until 2023, and then in between now and then, a decision will be made about its future. And unfortunately, it's always the not knowing that creates the doubt in people's minds. But nobody can tell you exactly what's going to happen until the negotiations are finished. We're in the middle of negotiations between the United Kingdom and the European Union. Now, everybody goes, oh, it's the 18th. It's not, because the decision's going to be made in the UK on the 19th. And that's almost the date, because that's what the legal position is. On the 19th, or Johnson has gone to the...
If he doesn't have a deal by then,
he's only done that.
To request an extension.
No, that's not what the Benn bill says. This is because of a court settlement in Scotland where the Tories, and on behalf of Boris Johnson, put a paper to him that said, if we don't have a deal by the 19th, then we will consider, oh no, we will write a letter to the EU seeking an extension. That's what they've said to the court. And the big issue in the news and on the press and in the media was, so we get to the 19th. What happens if he does this trick? I'm going to write a letter in this hand, and on the other hand, I'm going to tell you what I want as a reply. You know, it's the double-handed trick. I want this, but tell me that you can only do that. And there's a load of things. Just to understand where they're coming from. There was a rumour going around that Hungary were going to operate their veto.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, Hungary. So all of a sudden, Hungary become the bad people. Then it was, I always get his name wrong because it's like Faruka, but I shouldn't be...
Varadkar
from Southern Ireland. He's got to change
otherwise
his position.
Otherwise known as the Republic.
Republic
Southern Ireland. Sorry, yes.
Southern Ireland. Right. Whatever it is. It's an important part because this is the Tory saying it, he needs to change his position. Stephen, whatever his name is, the Tory guy who comes out from the ERG and... Yeah, he's now a cabinet bloody member, and you go, I don't believe you. He says, oh, it's Varadkar's got to change his position. Then they go to a meeting, they send off that other guy who's the Brexit negotiator, who's not an MP, he's one of the civil servants. They send him off to the EU, and they meet Barnier, and Barnier says, but you haven't given us anything in writing. Not you haven't given us anything different, you haven't given us anything in writing. All of a sudden, he's the nasty person.
Listen, Alf, I've actually spoken to Michel Barnier, I have many conversations with Guy Verhofstadt. No, I'm not name dropping, Giles.
Yes,
this is no.
Yes, you are.
Well,
there's
all right, I'm naming names,
it.
But okay. But in truth, and they do say if your government, had come to us in the first instance with what they wanted rather than a list of what they didn't want, we might have had something to base these negotiations on.
Oh, absolutely. Right. But that's irrespective. That's where we were, and this is where we are. And where we are currently, yeah, I do bang on about
where we
this.
Are currently is 3.5 years down the line, and
no,
we still know no difference.
No, we're not 3.5 years. Forget all that 3.5, because it will be 4. It could be 5. It could be longer. It's called Boris Johnson got elected. And I think I was on air either that week or the week after, and I said quite clearly, what they will do now is they will find somebody to blame. And they're not finding somebody, because every time they find somebody to blame, the British public come back through one of that guys or another and say, no, that can't be true.
Yeah, okay, so
we'll blame Ben, we'll blame Barnier, we'll blame the
after
EU.
After we've left
the EU,
who are they going to blame?
But no, we ain't going to leave the EU.
Oh,
because,
right.
Because the Tories, you see, they can play these mind games and say, they can play the mind games, there's only someone on the line, they can play the
waiting.
Mind games, well, they can play the mind games, but it's whether he's going to have the nerve and whether the Tories are going to have the nerve to break the law. And they won't. But everybody in negotiations plays up to the 11th hour. Everybody. I was a negotiator for years.
95.
Never give your hand.
95278 4000. We'll get this caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. A voice crying in the wilderness, I heard somebody say before. So let's see who this is. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE.
Hello. It's John Dodd. Is
a voice crying in the wilderness. Yes, go on, John.
Oh, yes. Well, you can all say you've spoke to Mr. Dodd on the radio. Name drop. No. I've got something very important, which is on the same subject in a lot of ways. I hope you don't turn me off.
Well, it depends what you're going to say, because we're talking about pension rights in the EU, John. So if you go completely left field...
Very much in the EU. The fact is that in England at the moment, we're talking about 12 million people who don't have a passport.
Yeah, and...
Number two.
Right.
There are 96 million bordering on 98 million, and this is from the World Service of the BBC, by the way, but they put these things on around 4 a.m, you know, and then Einstein declared, long before he died, that he could have made an atom bomb in 1930. Well, it's a good job he didn't, and he waited until, what was it, 1944? But anyway, we won't go into that now.
Right.
But the thing is, it's all these things that have been going on under the nose of our resident copper, Los Beliches, to tell us, oh, maybe it's all happened on his beat. Maybe he can tell us what
right.
it all happened,
thank
how
you.
It all happened.
Thank you for that one, John.
12 million people in the UK. haven't got a passport. John, are you making from that 96, that there are 12 million illegal immigrants in the UK, or that just 12 million people haven't bothered applying for a passport because they don't need one?
Why did you need a passport if you don't leave the country? Well, well, precisely, never had a passport.
Precisely. So the British services are trying to distort the, well, you can statistics and what is it?
Well,
lies.
Listen, and well, I mean, that was a stream of consciousness that I haven't, you know, hadn't for a very long time with John Doe calling in there. I think, you know, Einstein inviting the atom bomb long before he died as opposed to long after he died.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
952 784 000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page if you wish to leave a post is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996 795. Joining the studio by Alf Brewer and Annie Hernandez. Annie, wanted to come back on some points there we had a little bit earlier.
Yeah, the lady that was saying she went to the pop-up by the British consulate at Alicante at the airport. I do know the points that they are reflecting on and advising. It is one, padrón, ensure that you have a current padrón. Don't forget, if you need to present it as a paper, it's only valid for 90 days, so you might need to pop along to your local town hall to just ask for an update. It should be free. Some town halls charge a minimal sum, I do know. The other thing is to ensure that you have your, what we call residencia, your certificado de registro, the green card or the old green A4 paper, as best as possible, that it has carácter permanente, because it will make it a heck of a lot easier when we have to transfer to the TIE as non-EU citizens. And the other thing is driving licence, to exchange your driving licence whilst you can for the Spanish one if you're a resident here, which is a legal obligation anyway. And at the moment, it's just a case of form filling, handing over your driving licence. Then you're then given a temporary one. It's €24.10 for the admin. You have to pay for the medical, obviously, but it's not a fully sort of like a fully unclothed medical. It's more the hand and eye coordination type of thing. Might have blood pressure, but change your driving license, because after we leave, you have 9 months in which to exchange it. If you haven't, then I'm afraid you might have to do the driving test, and it will be in Spanish. And
right,
a lot of people here do not speak Spanish. And the last thing that they are recommending is that you ensure your British passport has 6 months validity remaining on it, which is important.
I'm just doing the calculations backwards myself. Got a caller on the line. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Is that me?
It is indeed you, sir.
Ah, my name's Robert, and I live in Meath.
Yes, Robert.
This whole thing of Brexit is a sort of a bit of a conundrum to all of us who are of beyond pensionable age. Say, I'm 87, and I'm a bit pissed off with the way the politicians are behaving. They're not behaving with any decorum or thought. But Charles de Gaulle, of course, must be turning in his grave, because he was the one that says Britain wouldn't be a suitable member of the EU, and I think he was right, because we're not proving ourselves as suitable members. We're not engaging properly. I mean, the Conservative group failed to join up with the other Conservative group. They set themselves up as a little group on their own in the European Parliament with as much influence as a block of ice in the Sahara Desert, which was silly. And the problem with happening now is a total mayhem amongst us as older generations who have no intention of returning to Britain because they don't want to. We've got property down here, we've got a pension down here, and we want to stay and enjoy the health service of which I have. But what's going to happen? Nobody knows. Nobody can give us an honest answer. All we get is a lot of waffle and puff. That's all.
Thank you very much for your call in there. A lot of waffle and puff.
Can I give Robert an answer? When we get a deal, yes or no, when we leave the EU, then everybody will give you all the answers you want. Unfortunately, you might not like the answers.
Yeah, but if we leave on the 31st, what are we on, the 7th today? Is it the 7th?
We are indeed the 7th.
So what have we got, 24 days left and we still don't know?
23 hours. 23 hours.
Okay.
It's like one of those things cutting down. It's like hitting. It's really, a clock. We'll have a Brexit Day clock.
On
the
sky.
It's
really top left hand corner of sky. That's a Brexit countdown.
But to agree with Robert, I have to think that the UK has never fully signed up to being a member of the EU. To be truthful.
Going live to the lines 952-78-4000. Good morning, Cool. You're live on TRA. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. Waffle and Puff. What a good name for a breakfast cereal. Great. John Dodd said something just now, and initially when I heard it, didn't sound surprising to me, and Alf poo-pooed it, so I quickly Googled it, and apparently only 76% of the population in the UK hold a British passport. So that's a quarter of them don't. Of 60 million people, we're knocking the door of 15 million. So, and it didn't surprise me at all. There's a huge amount of pensioners that probably have given up travelling because of costs to insurance, etc. Many have just given up travel because of health. There are many youngsters who've never bothered to apply for a passport, and many, many families that are so poor they would never even dream about travelling out of the UK, let alone be able to afford a passport. I don't know how much they cost these days. So 15 million, Alpha, according to those figures. So you're wrong there. The only thing you have really said right this morning was the very top of the show. You mentioned that that politics has everything to do with everything within this world. And now I've just listened to you just talk about how disruptive, how upset the differences between people. We live in a world, if you take out the two great wars, we've probably got more people starving. We've got more people at war. We've got more people fleeing conflict. We've got less people in education. We've got the world's problems just go on and on and on. And if politicians, the diet industry and the unions all worked, we'd have no need for them, would we? So as far as politics go, Alf, I think we'd be far better off ignoring your advice and not voting for anybody ever again. Because the way we have politics at the moment in the Western world is the same as unions, and it's something that's from the 1800s and late 17, early 1800s. It fits with the modern world. We do not need politicians in any way, shape or form. We have a rule of law. We can have administrators. We can have an emergency war cabinet. We do not need politicians. We do not need referendums and things every 5 minutes. We just need someone to run the country. And it's not being done properly in the UK. It's not being done properly in Europe. It's not being properly done in the rest of the world. And I'm talking mainly G20 countries. And at the moment, I don't know if any of you understand or realise that there's a repurchase rate going on out there, which is in very short layman's terms, that every night when the banks and the big industry square up their books, they're often their numbers don't match, so they go into the repurchase market to lend money temporarily for a few hours. And that, a couple of weeks ago, spiked from 2.5% per annum to 10% per annum, and they're just not lending to each other out there, especially the big banks. I've mentioned Deutsche Bank. Their shares have been dropping in that 2 weeks, and the Fed are dumping in $100 billion a night to keep that market liquid. So we're on the cusp of going under. Someone's going to go down. It hasn't happened since 2008, just before Lehman went. But none of these institutions are prepared to lend to each other at the moment. There's fear in the market. And we're discussing at the moment what I call your Brexit Light program, whether Doris gets her a blue rinse on a Tuesday or a Thursday at the moment. But there are bigger fish to fry out there. And the biggest problem in the world are politics. And I think that's it. I'll leave it on that.
Thanks very much, Peter. Doris gets her blue rinse on a Tuesday or a Thursday. Not suggesting, but my next cut. Hang on now, if I know you don't never get your blue rinse.
Blonde.
Yes, anyway, they've got a caller on the line. Thank you for holding, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate. The last speaker spoke at length, and the gist of a complete disagreement with him is that we don't need no politicians. We need better politicians. Mm. Cameron was the one who took the Conservative MEPs out of the mainstream Conservative grouping. And he did that apparently after a meeting with Murdoch, before he was designated and became designated the Conservative leader. And his decisions, I mean, he made two constitutional proposals in 2015. One was for the Votes for Life, and the other one was, you know, what we're talking about now. As a matter of political judgment, Cameron has been an absolute unmitigated disaster in his politics. We need better politicians, not new politicians.
Best politicians.
Thanks very much for the call and getting to Life to the Lines. One more call, Alfie, and then come to you. Yes, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Richard from Torre Vieja.
Yes, Richard.
The citizens' advice lady that you have on said that both systems for healthcare in the UK and in Spain are residency-based. So there's no need to worry about S1s or whatever. If you have an address in the UK, then you get free health. If you have an address in Spain, then you get free health. That's what she said.
That's the end of the story. That would be for Myra, as a part of the, I think, citizens.
Myra, that's the lady. She seems very authoritative. She seems to know what she's talking about. If both systems are residency-based, then there's no problem for anyone, whether you're in the EU, out the EU, or whatever.
The UK National Health Service system is based solely and singly on residency. So you have to live in the UK to get covered by the NHS. There is a reciprocal agreement that covers Spain for people who don't live in the UK.
Alf, let me interrupt you. Myra said a reciprocal agreement doesn't matter. Anyone who lives in Spain is a resident. They get free healthcare. That's what she said.
Only if they're paying into the social system.
No, Alf. Let me just explain.
Residency-based.
Yeah, Richard, if I can just interrupt. On the gov.uk website, it was only brought to my attention yesterday, in fact. There is, if you look under healthcare for residents, there is a point there that says healthcare will be guaranteed to all of those who have 5-year residency in Spain. It doesn't clarify how. There's no caveat, and I have actually requested clarification of this because that is something that needs clarifying, basically, because that implies that we all have residency here over 5 years and therefore are entitled to healthcare here. I can't see how, because Spain wouldn't have to pay for the healthcare. It's got to come from the UK.
For people who live here who aren't, if you're an old age pensioner, then you're covered by the UK National Health Service. We all know that. It's the S1. So you don't have to live in the UK to get that cover.
If you look at the gov.uk, it listed that, and then there was a separate issue that said residency of over 5 years.
Absolutely. So my kids live here. They're residents of Spain. They get covered because they pay into the social system.
So you have to pay into the system.
No. And then what they did, right, I've been through all these healthcare schemes, and one part of it was there was a royal decree that said, this was Spain waiving the thing about reciprocal arrangements, and they put a thing in that said, if you have been on the padron for 5 years, you are entitled to free healthcare. It's something that the Spanish government have relented to and given. I know because I was covered by it, and I had to go down to the social and get yet another. I've been to the social on 7 occasions now to have to re-register, and like I say, I'm a bit fed up because they've just told me that my S1 hasn't been registered in the UK.
Are you confusing that with the Convenio Especial?
Oh, this is my health cover since I've lived here.
Because there is a Convenio Especial as well, which obviously you can apply for. If you have no other means of accessing healthcare, you can apply to Spain. It's sort of like an insurance you pay into the Spanish health system here.
Of course.
Up to the age of 65, it's €60 a month. Over the age of 65, it's €157 a month. That's current costing.
So
but it does not include prescriptions.
Right.
Other than that, for those that are, as they say, paperless residents, have no other means whatsoever of funding of resources, you can apply for universal healthcare.
Absolutely, right. But you know, what you just talked about is not free healthcare. If you're in the UK, it's free healthcare.
Well, it's only free because you paid into the system. The same as if you're Spanish here, if you've contributed to the Spanish system, you might consider it free, but you've paid into it out of your monthly salary.
That's what it's called. The National Health Service is a free care service from birth to death. That's how it's described. That's how it was set up. That's how it's politically been run for the last 80 years, is it?
Right,
anyway, can I just ask?
Of course
you can. Kate rang in and she said about the polls, and it's called, I was listening to the TV, and whether I agree with it or not is irrelevant. They said on the thing, there are a number of polls that are showing support for not leaving. And one poll in particular showed 64% in favour that if there was a second referendum, people would vote in favour of staying. That's not me speaking. That was, I don't know if it's BBC or Sky TV, it was somebody on there. But, and I'll come back to, because Peter always, you know, you poo-poo me, Peter, but you don't listen.
That could, of course, be influenced by the fact that now 18-year-olds that didn't get the vote in the referendum are now entitled to vote. Oh. And we're affecting their future. It's freedom of movement, and it's their future that is, needs to be considered.
But Anne, this is called politics. You can say that, and there will be another 75 different reasons why people have changed their mind or whatever. You can never say this is, you know.
No, and I don't believe in polls either.
People said, well, no, yeah. I think I live my life on polls, and you tend to put them to one side, but listen to some of it. And if someone's saying that, that's their way. That's their way of trying to influence other people. It may not be true, but they're going to say it, and you may believe it. And they may create the wave of change simply by keep saying the same thing. When they had the referendum in 2016, you know, the biggest number of people ever, keep on saying it, no, it's the biggest poll ever in UK history. And I'll guarantee, I'll bet you your bottom dollar, most of the people you talk to, most of the people will say, oh, the issue is immigration. You go, well, no, it wasn't. It was the money for the NHS. It was people being allowed to give benefits in the UK and send them overseas. There must have been 200 different reasons, at least, why people said, I don't want to be in the EU anymore. And the same applies today. There is no single reason why people would change their mind. There's a whole raft of some of it is because they don't believe what's been going on. Some people are fed up with it. Some people actually say, now we know the facts, we want to change it. You know, there'll be a whole pile of this stuff. And you can never say in politics, this is the only reason why, because it's not true. And last thing, honestly, because Peter says lots of things, if you don't have the political situation, if you don't have elections, you have no control, you have no power. What you have is a little thing, Peter, called anarchy. And if you have anarchy, that means Spanish people tried to tell me I was wrong, but you know, read your history. The anarchists get elected, they refuse to make decisions in the parliament, no decisions get made, the people get upset, the people start rioting, the people start doing this, the people start doing that. What did it end up with? Oh, civil war. Oh, no, you can't blame that on the anarchists. Of course you can, because that's what happens and
or
it happens.
You get benign dictatorship.
Well, whatever it was,
yeah.
If you don't have politicians, if you don't have people there at the front, naturally they come there. If it ain't them, it'll be... you know, big business or whatever. But something we have to recognise is their little, you know, Peter with all these big issues. I've said it with Felix. I agree with Felix about climate change. I agree with Peter about all these big issues. I agree with Peter about some of the financial stuff. But, you know, sometimes you have to realise, as a little me, there's little or nothing I can do about that. So I want to have, you know, just a little say. The one thing that I'm guaranteed, my little say in what happens, is that I can vote, and I can vote to get rid of the rubbish politicians, and I can vote to put better politicians in if I can find them. And I can.
I think it's time you realise that there's callers waiting online. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll carry on talking, because this is the issue. It's the only issue. People might not like politics, but it's the issue that drives our lives.
Going live to the lines, 952-78-4000, morning. Live on TRE, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, it's Sharon again, Alicante. Yes. I'm sorry, I just thought of something that may be useful to people. First of all, I'd like to thank the lady on the panel again, but also like to thank John the ex-copper, who does do a hell of a lot of great stuff out there. He's not on the Costa Blanca, but I think he's brilliant, and the way he goes around and trying to help everybody. So thanks to John down there and to the lady on the panel. If there's one person that's been really helpful to me personally over all this stuff to which you're not getting answers, it's Myra from Citizens Advice. They go to the core of the law, as you might say, and what she has said in the recent past is that if you had residencia here, legal residencia, before 2012, there's something in it that says you are entitled to healthcare. I know they have email websites and phone numbers and things, but I can, well, next time she's on, maybe we could clarify that. So anybody who is resident before 2012 would get healthcare here. So, and yes, the Convenio Especial is there available for us, but it's quite expensive. And I think if you want to call an ambulance, you have to pay for that. But at least you're on the NHS system, which covers everything and doesn't exempt preconditions. So it is a good thing to go for. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. More Viewpoint after this.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
All right, then, into the last 15, 30 minutes of the show. Just want to go through some of the... I've got calls waiting as well, so hang on there. A quick few points of order. This in from Jerry Hagen. Good morning to you, Jerry. Giles, UK pensioners are in, for example, US or Australia, do not get UK state pension increases. This is illegal under EU rules, but after Brexit, the UK can do what it wants and can treat us the same as UK pensioners in the US or in Oz. That's from Jerry onto the Facebook group now then. Michael Senker's been in, Mr. Grumpy. Good luck with the driving licence. I applied in May and still haven't got it, which means I can't hire a car in the UK anymore as I have no driving licence. Eighth Giles, that's from Ken. Is that today's date? Yes, it is indeed. Thank you very much. I'm still stuck in 1973. Also, index linking of OAP's pensions is a reciprocal agreement, covers the EU and 17 other countries, blah, 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 blah. Oddly, the increase in closed applies to pensioners living in the Philippines and USA, but not Canada and Australia. In 2020, I will stop getting the £70 per week for the wife who's under UK pension age, a dependence allowance. Not paying some benefits and stopping pensions increases are solely to save UK money. Also, of course, all of us get UK pensions, but not living there, spend our money outside the UK, unlike pensioners who live in the UK and spend on their OAPs. I understand that now... one does not hand over their UK trafico until they collect their Spanish driving license. The price takes 6 months. Another one in, Spain's government has approved legislation restoring universal free healthcare to all residents, thus reversing a previous law passed by its conservative predecessor that excluded some sections of society, officials said Friday. The cabinet approved the new law at its end of week meeting in Madrid, saying the change would make it easier to control diseases and should also avoid imbalances that tend to provoke a need for emergency treatment and hospitalization. Today, Spain recovered its right to universal healthcare. Fans are going bananas. The Ministry of Health said cabinet has approved the proposal by the health minister Carmen Montón and given the green light to a law that will guarantee universal healthcare for all persons with Spanish nationalities as well as foreigners resident in Spain, etc. This in from Jay. We have a link to the Citizens Advice Bureau of Spain on our homepage. Adrian from Estepona has sent me deadlock. Number 10 giving up hope of deal after deadlock in Johnson call with Merkel. That's just in from Adrian. Thank you for that. And Stephen Bartley wrote at least three letters to Barnier to ring fence UK citizens in European countries to retain the rights we have now. Barnier has written back and effectively said, sign the deal and you'll have you what you want. These letters are available to view on gov.uk website. Regards from Anne. Live to the lines. Thank you for calling, listener. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Sean from Fuengirola.
Morning, Sean.
Morning, panel. Nice to hear all the different views. Most interesting. I'd just like to make a point about democracy, which is really what I think a lot of us are talking about ultimately, including the many of us on the coast, those of you who feel shortchanged because of the Brexit decision. I would... recommend strongly a brilliant interview, or several interviews by different interviewers, with David Starkey, the famous historian David Starkey. Many of you will know him because of his BBC appearances. Essentially, what Starkey does is reminds me of the great importance of knowing the history of something in order to understand it. And he points out that Parliament, the UK Parliament, has been around for about 800 years. UK democracy has been around for less than 100 years, really, if you take the was a 1928 Act when women could have the vote even if they were under 30. What he says is, in particular to do with Brexit and the idea of representatives versus delegates, the argument from Kate and many others has always been the Edmund Burke speech to the electors of Bristol, which very much emphasised that the MPs are representatives who can make up their own mind on whatever it is, whatever the issue is, rather than delegates. Well, he points out that that is no longer the case. In fact, it was only the case in Burke's time in the late 18th century because of the rotten boroughs, the lack of democracy, the fact that Burke himself worked for the Marquess of Rockingham, a completely rotten situation.
Right.
He was a lackey, a paid lackey of the Marquess of Rockingham. Now, fast forward to the mid-1880s. I won't be too long, because I know you
thank
don't
you. We've
a
got we've got 7 minutes left, so yeah.
But this is highly, highly relevant, so bear with me for a minute or so. In the mid-1880s, there was a dramatic shift in the way that Parliament works, because you had the emergence of the whipped, fundamentally two-party system. And that meant that essentially MPs were moving more and more away from being representatives, says Starkey, who, by the way, is one of the greatest historians in British history, the particular expert on some of these constitutional issues. So you moved away from representatives to delegates with a two-party system. Now, with the Brexit vote, it was made totally clear by Cameron and those in power that the voters would have the say, that the politicians would act as delegates for the voters. So although technically it's true that these referendum votes are merely advisory, this was explicitly stated and promised to the British people that that it would not be advisory. It would be a binding order to the members of Parliament. And you can go and check it out. It's totally clear. Numerous statements by Cameron and others saying that. So, therefore, the MPs are even more delegates than they were from the 1880s onwards. So it's not good enough for us just to say, well, you know, I think we should have a second referendum.
Right.
By the way, the latest polls, Alf, and you rightly say polls vary, but they according to one collection of polls that goes back over the last 11 months, it says that 53% of the population would vote to remain, which makes it roughly similar to what the polls were saying before the Brexit vote, when many people that had never voted before, either in their lives or for a very long time, came out and voted Brexit.
Right.
So it gives you some sort of insight into the history of these things. Let's remember the MPs should be delegates, not representatives, and they are described by Starkey as traitors. Certainly those that have colluded with the European Union, I believe, are traitors. Thanks. Cheers.
Thank you very much for your call in there. Strong words there, Anna.
I've been called a traitor as well.
Right.
Which is, I was also, somebody said to me, when you go back to the UK, which is obviously very rare, I haven't been back for 18 years now,
yeah.
But when I go back, I will be locked in the tower. And I'll probably
which particular tower would that
tower
be?
Tower of London,
I was
going to
say, you know,
waiting to have my head chopped off. But
it's an interesting. Yes,
nothing to do with what that gentleman's just said. Can I just clarify one of those messages that you said about driving licences?
Sure.
It's a two-part process. So you apply with the application form, etc., etc. You are then informed by email when they have verification back from the UK from DVLA.
Yeah.
Because it has to be verified that you are who you are and that your license doesn't have any points against it, etc., etc. And you then go in and you present your driving license with the €24.10 fee. And in exchange, you're given a temporary paper driving license, which is quite right, as that gentleman said. You cannot hire a car on that in the UK, but it is valid for 3 months, and you need to keep an eye on the 3 months, because if it exceeds, then you're actually driving here without a license. But you can easily go back and get it updated. But they are working on, at the moment, certainly in Malaga, end of March applications quite a long time because right. there's been such a demand for obviously changing the driving licence. So that gentleman that applied in May,
yeah.
please be patient, is all I can say.
Yeah. That gentleman, by the way, is no other than Mr. Grumpy.
Indeed.
And he's famous to us all, and nice to hear from you, Michael.
He was the male gender, was he?
Yes, he is. It is the male gender. Just going to get live to the lines as well.
Usually get called Mr. Grumpy, yeah, but obviously, whether it's March or whatever, my daughter's just been through it.
Just
and it's months and months and months of waiting, mm-hmm. and 6 months is minimum.
Just want to go to the lines, good, for one more time. Quickie. Good morning, Curly, you're live on TRE.
Quickie factual answer to the, I think, Sean. Parliament only permitted referendum on the grounds that it was advisory. And I'm very surprised that Starkey didn't know that.
Right then.
The referendum was quite specific. This is the bit about Cameron. It's also about, are they representatives or are they delegates? And in a lot of cases, MPs are always going to argue they're representative. Because when they get elected, if they're elected in marginal seats, they probably represent little more than two-fifths of the electorate. So they still have to deal with the other 60% or 58, 55% of the people that live in their area. So they will always argue they're representative, which is why there's been a problem with all of this stuff. Yes, there is a party whip system, but how many Tory MPs voted against the whip? How many Labour MPs have voted against the whip? How many people have left and come and gone and whatever? Because they're all arguing currently, no, we are representatives of the people where we live. Somebody who is representing an area of 70% to leave, who's then sitting in Parliament saying stay, is not representative. And that's what they're saying, and they're fearful. And just remember,
yep.
the Cameron on the referendum was quite clear about what he did. Cameron was doing that in order to save the Tory party from UKIP. Nothing more and nothing less. He didn't give a monkey's about the population of Britain. And he was arrogant enough to think that he was big enough that he could win a vote.
Just want to leap in quickly.
Shot himself in the foot.
Shot himself in the foot. I'm talking, well, not shot himself.
No, we've got a call. Shot us somewhere, not in the foot.
Alf, shut up. Alf, give it a break. Get someone else to. Right, it's Mr. Grumpy, hello.
I could go, right then, come on, you've got a minute and 12.
Well, one sec, I didn't catch what you were saying about the driving licences, but I've heard someone say you don't have to give it until you get the Spanish one.
No, I've never said that. I said it's a two-part process. You apply in the first instance, it's then sent off for verification to the UK. You are then informed by email that they have it back, which is when you go in and pay your €24.10, you hand over your UK driving licence and you are given a temporary Spanish one. Your Spanish one... Spanish one is then sent in the post.
Everybody just talks over everybody. No one lets anybody's
30 seconds.
Right. The reason I had to give it in, because I was 70, I couldn't keep my licence anyway. I had to give it in. I couldn't wait for anything. I had to give it in. And I've had to wait like since May, so I can't drive in the UK at the moment. That's all I said.
All right, then. Anyway, so, electric scooter perhaps, Michael?
Well, yeah, and I'd love you to have Starkey on there. I'd rather listen to Alf and the other geezers.
Anyway, there we go. Starkey will get Hutch in as well. Thank you very much for your call in. Those bongos in the background mean only one thing. We have run out of time on this week's Viewpoint.
Ever so quickly, Sunday the 3rd of November, lunch, please, for Brexpats in Spain. Info at brexpats.es with the British Consul and the Mayor of Mijas, Valparaíso Restaurant in Mijas.
And thank you to Anna Hernandez and also Alf Brewer.
Thank you.
This programme will be repeated at 6 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
My invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Online, on mobile, and on air. TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.